I want to welcome those of you who are watching online, and we've got a couple of house cleaning matters before we look at the scriptures this morning. But if you have a Bible or your iPad or phone, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 13. A couple of really cool stories, and then I want to make one recognition. Last Sunday, there was a seventh grade boy who was at home, not attending church on Easter, and he saw one of our services, and he stopped what he was doing, and he listened to the message. And he called our church Friday, a young boy, can't even drive, and he wanted to speak to someone about giving his life to Jesus Christ. Lori Westfall, our children's pastor, gets on the phone, and Lori was able, over the phone, to lead this young man to faith in Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. You never know how sharing a service like this on social media might impact someone. Now, I hope to show you this next week. I don't know if I can or not. There may be some security issues. But in the first service this morning, I'd received an email from a couple who live in the heart of China. And they watch the services. And their girls, who look like they're about junior high, their names are Lucy and Pearl. They couldn't believe that they were watching in China an American worship service live. They couldn't believe that it wasn't taped. And so at 8:30, I said hello to Lucy and Pearl in China. And their mom sent me a video of their reaction. Absolutely hilarious. They could not believe they were being called out by an American pastor. All I can say, Todd, is it's a new world. It's a new day. And the gospel of Jesus Christ can be shared quickly and easily. So don't let things get you down. I know there's a lot of darkness around us, but I'm telling you, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen? Amen. Recognition. Jackson Anderson, come on out. I told him right before we were starting this service that we would do this. Where is Jackson? Jackson! There we go. Let me say something about this man. Will Jones is the superintendent of Garber Schools. He's a member of our church. Come on over, Jackson. He is also was the basketball coach until he resigned to focus on administration. Basketball won state. Garber's really doing a great job. Well, this past week, was it, Jackson? 2 weeks ago, Jackson Anderson took the Garber band down to Oklahoma City, and they won state. Isn't that cool? Now, the reason I'm calling him out is because Will knows that he's going full-time at Emmanuel in May. So Will is having a meeting with him this week to try to match whatever we're paying him. I'm putting a hex on you, Will Jones. That's not happening, okay? Anyway, isn't Jackson Anderson doing a great job? Good job, Jackson. Yeah, you bet. I did that because, Mom, he's got to answer to a lot more people than just me now. Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. So, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We are in a series on love, and we've been talking about God's kind of love, not the world's kind of love, not the kind you hear in the music you listen to on the radio or through your earphones. We're not talking about the kind of love you see in movies. We're talking about real love. The Bible tells us that love, real love, is a verb of action, not an adjective of emotion. When the Bible says God loves you, that means he has done something for you. He has given you his son. For God so loved us that he gave us his son. So I might tell you that I love people. I might even say to you, I love you. But the truth of the matter is, I show it by what I do. I'll give you an example. Does it irritate you when you call someone and they don't return your phone call? Okay? Maybe it's someone pretty busy, you know, and you call them back and they still don't return the phone call. Do you kind of feel maybe that you're not important? Well, possibly. I would encourage all of us to get past that, but use it as a teaching tool. For example, a lot of people have my cell phone, and you know how a name will pop up when someone calls. This past week, a name popped up, and I really didn't feel like talking. I really didn't feel like answering. And so I just let it ring, and then it went to voicemail. And then I got to thinking, now wait a minute. How in the world can I talk about love and not call this person? And so I did. I called this person. Had a conversation that was very helpful for her. My point to you is this. It's one thing for me to say I love you. It's another thing for me to show it. The Bible says love never fails. Once you practice the kind of love described in 1 Corinthians 13, for the people you work with, the people you're in relationship with, the people you go to school with, the people you're boss over, it'll never fail. It'll never fail them, and it will never fail you. In fact, if you really want to know how to live, if you want to live your best life to its fullest, love and live. Okay, now, having said that, there are 15 descriptive phrases in 1 Corinthians 13 that define for me what real love should look like in my life. And I would encourage you not to think about other people as you read 1 Corinthians 13. Think about yourself. Don't wonder whether or not your wife loves you or your kids love you or, you know, your husband loves you or your friend loves you. No. Focus on yourself, because remember what we've said. Every time the word love is used in 1 Corinthians 13, you should put your name right there, because love is the trademark of genuine followers of Jesus Christ. By this, by your love, Jesus said, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Now, of the 15 descriptive phrases concerning love, in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 13, you have a verse where there is a negative statement, what love is not, followed by a positive statement, what love is. Last Sunday, we looked at the negative first portion of verse 6, where the Bible says, love does not rejoice in what is not right. Now, this morning, we come to the second half of verse 6, where the Apostle Paul writes, love rejoices in the truth. Now let's talk about that. What does that mean? Well, at its most basic essence, it means that Christ's people delight in the truth. We don't like falsehoods. We don't like lying. In fact, the Bible says these are seven things which the Lord hates, and among them is a lying tongue. Now, this gets a little complicated because, for example, you know, when I was a kid, and we'd go to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving, and she would make pumpkin pie. Don't judge me for this, but I don't like pumpkin pie. Rochelle loves it. I don't. Okay, so when grandma lays out a piece of pumpkin pie and you take a nibble or you take a bite and grandma says, Wade, how do you like that pumpkin pie? Are you with me? Okay, here's the thing. I know we were trained and we were taught and we live in a culture where everyone says, don't tell the truth. Don't hurt grandma's feelings. But let me show you the problem with that. If you say, oh, grandma, this is amazing, she will bring out a second piece of pumpkin pie. Okay, you're better off by simply saying, grandma, if I liked pumpkin pie, I am sure this would be the best pumpkin pie ever made, but I really don't like the texture or the taste. Now, grandma's feelings, I don't think will be hurt. In fact, on the contrary, I think grandma will get to know you a little bit better, and you will have a more authentic relationship because you've told the truth. In fact, I think this is so essential for a Christian because the Bible tells us this. In Ephesians chapter 4, in describing those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's an assumption that we have put away lying. Therefore, having put it away, okay? So, in my own life, this is the constant barometer. This is the plumb line. This is the measuring standard of where I am in my love for other people. Do I tell the truth? Now, in a couple of weeks, on the 25th, I will show you that if your concern is always that people tell you the truth, you're missing the point. You are called to believe all things that other people say, and you are to tell the truth. The world gets it just the opposite. The world wants everybody else to tell the truth, and they cover. Don't be that person. Okay? Now, that's the most basic, significant meaning of loving people. I'm going to tell you the truth. Does Thursday night work for you? Well, it really doesn't. I'm going to tell you the truth. Are you scared with your diagnosis of cancer? Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I think I am. If you could just pray for me. You know, a gentleman in our church who I've been discipling and praying for, and he's been struggling in his marriage. And he made a statement to me that, you know, Wade, he said, the truth of the matter is everybody thinks everyone else has a perfect life. And it's because we so conditioned ourselves to not tell the truth. I think that's pretty wise. Now, there's a secondary meaning to this verse. And it's a little bit of a more subtle shade than just telling the truth. I think this verse means if you really love someone, you will determine not to hide. Let me show you what I mean. The word truth in this verse in English translates a Greek word that I love. In fact, we thought about naming, if we had another daughter, Rochelle, other than Karis, you and I talked about naming her Aletheia. Aletheia is the Greek word translated truth. But let me show you something about this word. The alpha, the A at the beginning of this word, the A in English, is always a vowel used to negate something. It means not. An atheist is one who does not believe in God, one who is not a theist. Aletheia is one who does not lethe, hide. That's the word truth. So, to rejoice in truth is to be a person who's glad, who celebrates, who rejoices in not hiding and not forgetting. Now, if you're smart and you're thinking, you would say, I don't understand that. Because the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Love hides a multitude of sins. And Pastor Wade, didn't you just tell us a few weeks ago that love does not keep a record of wrongs? So explain to me how love doesn't keep a record of wrongs and love covers a multitude of sins, but love rejoices in not hiding. Okay, I will. Are you listening? You cover other people's sins. You hide other people's sins. You tear up the record of other people's sins. But you don't hide yours. And you don't cover yours. And you keep a record of yours. What? By the way, the world does it just the opposite. We scream and we yell and we point at people and their sins. And we cover our own. You see it in politics. You see it in business. And unfortunately, you see it in religion. When's the last time you ever saw an overweight pastor get on the stage and say, listen, I really struggle with my emotions. When I begin feeling depressed, I turn to food to make me feel better. That is a weakness that I have personally. It's a habit that causes me to trust in something other than my Savior. If you could just pray for me, this is my weakness, this is my struggle. No, what you hear is a pastor get up and rail against homosexuality and drunkenness and addiction to drugs and condemn those who are there because we are in the habit of exposing other people's sins and not our own. Does that make sense? Love, if I really love somebody, I would rejoice in not hiding my weaknesses and my faults. I would celebrate not covering, not forgetting what I've done. Do you know who Lethe is? Lethe was the Greek goddess for whom one of the rivers of Hades was named. There were five. One was the river Styx. Another was the river Lethe. And the ancient Greeks in Paul's day taught that when you died, you crossed into Hades and you were made to drink of the river Lethe, which means to hide or to forget or to cover. You couldn't go into the next life without drinking the waters of Lethe and forgetting your past life. Paul writes and he says, don't do that. Don't do that. You are a believer who loves other people. Therefore, you rejoice in aletheia. Alethe, I will tell people what my faults are. Did you know that the root of daydreaming and fantasy is forgetting? And that's why you're not loving anyone when you're fantasizing about how it would be if you were just married to someone else. You're not loving anyone when you're daydreaming about what your life would be if you'd just taken that job and not been in this situation. Christians are called by the Spirit of Christ to not forget the present or the past and to know that God is working all things for our good. One of the biggest missteps pastors make is fantasizing, being at a bigger church, a bigger place, a bigger reputation, more money, and so on. Are you with me? Rejoice where God has planted you. The need to conceal or hide something is always evidence that something is not right. Guys, this is like an axiom. What that means is this should be so self-evident, nobody needs to tell you this. Have you ever thought in your life those things that you wish others not to know are the very things God wishes you to express? Because only when you speak it will you slay it. And only when you don't forget it will it not have power over you. Now, in a moment, I'll show you how that can happen. But I just take you to this verse in Thessalonians. For we are children of light and day, not of the night and darkness. In the earlier service, we have a gentleman. He's a very, very, very dear friend. Recently came to faith in Christ. And he's been married 5 times. And so when I was just talking to him about his past, I could see he hesitated when it came to his marriages. He didn't want to talk about them because he felt a little bit ashamed. And I said to him, listen, it is no accident you are where you are today. The Lord never wastes a person's past or experiences to bring each of us to the place where our trust is fully in him. And boy, even today, when I observed him and watched him in this message, I could see the lights clicking. The Christian is the one who rejoices in not hiding. By the way, Robert Falk, I cannot tell you how many people have been angry with me for Robert Falk being a part of Emmanuel. I've heard from people via email, phone calls, how can you let Robert Falk? Do you not know what he's done? He was on the front page of the paper. Well, of course. Of course. But one of the things that you've noticed about Robert Falk, before he came to Christ, he was covering everything. Now he's telling you his story. Those who know Christ rejoice in not hiding. Not hiding leads to authentic and transparent relationships. You know, one of the reasons churches lose our power is because we get together on Sunday and we want everybody to think that everything's perfect. And we have lost sight of the fact that our identity is not in our past or our mistakes. Our identity is as the people of Christ. Have you had an abortion? There's nothing to be ashamed of. Because Christ's people draw their life from Jesus Christ. You see, it could be that arrest for drunkenness, it could be that moral failure, it could be that which you've been hiding and concealing is the very thing God will use to turn your life around. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You've quoted that verse since you were a kid. But have you ever realized that the word truth there in that verse is the word aletheia? The way to live life without forgetting your past, without hiding what you've done, to be present in your present is to know me. Here's why. Jesus is the answer for the guilt you feel. Oh, the courts may hold you guilty till the day you die, but the court of heaven, when Jesus cried, it is finished, paid for every mistake you'll ever make. Jesus is the answer for the love you need. I guarantee you 100% you and I hide because the people significant to us, we are afraid they will leave if they know who we really are. The Bible says what a person desires is steadfast love. The problem with you and me is that we're looking for that love in all the wrong places, as the country and western song says, because Jesus alone is the one who gives you steadfast love. And he will never, no, never, no, never, no, never, no, never leave you nor abandon you. And to the extent that you feel the need to hide and to cover, to lose relationship is the extent to which you're not connected to the love of God through Jesus Christ. Finally, Jesus is the answer for the doubt you face. You see, the truth of the matter is, all of us think, oh my goodness, if people really knew what I struggled with, my future is not going to be bright. Well, it's just the opposite. You will know the truth, aletheia, and the truth, aletheia, will set you free. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're coming for dinner, and at 6:45, to learn how to be people who rejoice in not forgetting what God has done and is doing in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. My prayer is that these might not just be words, but they will be actions. That we will leave this place loving people because we determine never again to drink the waters of Lethe. We cross over to the other side, present with you, living in the reality that you are the way, the ability to not forget, and the life in the midst of even the pain we've caused. We trust you and thank you for the Lord Jesus. In him we stand. Amen. If you're here this morning, you have questions about a relationship with Christ, we'd love to visit with you. If you're here and you'd like more information about community groups, our pastors and wives will be at the back. Rochelle and I will be here at the front. We'd love to visit with you. If you are a guest, welcome to Emmanuel. For those of you who've been watching on television or online, let us know if this message has spoken to you. Share it with others. Hope to see you back at Emmanuel. Every week we see more and more folks coming back from COVID. May the Spirit of God bless you, keep you safe, and fill your hearts with peace. See you either Wednesday night or Thursday morning for Pastor Hook's memorial service. You're dismissed.